Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, walked amongst us, he found himself in the midst of a great number of differing kinds of people. He was able to find hearing with those from a variety of different social castes, from beggars and lepers and destitute widows, all the way to Pharisees, chief elders, centurions, magistrates, and even kings in the end. He had a message of welcome to children, a touch of healing to the sick, an outstretched arm of hospitality to the outcast, a word of instruction to the curious or devout, a correction to the wandering, a chastisement for the malevolent, and a rebuke to the proud. What can always be counted on in the words of our Lord is that the words that he spoke were true. And most often, though, they are spoken within a particular context. They are contextualized for the people that he is speaking the truth to. And today, we've heard a famous parable of his concerning the Pharisee and the publican. And the context is given right in the first line. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. From this parable has developed one of the most famous prayers of the ancient church, now called the Jesus Prayer. And taking the words of the publican into our own mouths, we may devoutly pray, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This type of prayer is called monologistic prayer, meaning one word, monologistic. And it's repeated by Christians over and over as a means of quieting and focusing the mind, which is prone to race and suffer from perpetual distractions. An entire movement of prayerful monastic Christians has taken the name hesychast, meaning silence, preferring to pray silently the Jesus Prayer in perpetual repetition. And if you're going to pray something over and over, it's not a bad idea to pray something that you can be sure the Lord will be pleased to hear you earnestly repeating. You can't go wrong with the Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer he gave to us. You can't go wrong with the Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And it surely does not hurt to pray the very first of the monologistic prayers suggested by the Desert Fathers of the 4th century, Psalm 70, verse 1. O God, make speed to save me. O Lord, make haste to help me. But speaking especially today of that ideal prayer of the publican, remember that it was not the publican that gave it to us, it was Jesus who gave it to us. He's the teller of this parable. And second, remember that it is a prayer given first to Pharisees. Context is explicitly declared, worthy of repeating. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Not the prayer of the publican, nor the Lord's Prayer, nor Psalm 70, verse 1, nor the Jesus Prayer, nor the Kyrie eleison. None of these are given to us as a magical formula. Prayers heard by the Lord are heard not because they are spoken in a particular way, but because they are spoken by a people who do not trust in themselves that they're righteous, and by people who do not self-righteously despise others. Prayer might be effectual. Prayer might even be mystical, but it is not magical. In the 6th chapter of Galatians, St. Paul reminds us very tersely, God is not mocked. Interestingly, just a few verses before that, he declares something that lines right up with this Pharisee and publican parable. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. God is not mocked. Before him all hearts are open, all desires known, and from him no secrets are hid. Jesus reveals in this parable that God is not mocked. by pointing out that the Pharisee was not even really praying to God. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself: God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, especially perhaps this guy over here. The publican can't even raise his head or his eyes to heaven in his plea for mercy. And the publican goes away justified, but the Pharisee, quite pleased with his rule of life, we are assured the Lord does not hear his prayer. At this point, we have to recognize this is a dangerous parable. It's dangerous for several reasons. First of all, the Pharisees know that Jesus is speaking of them. He doesn't even try to disguise it, having made the central character a Pharisee. Jesus is going to get in trouble for this. But it's dangerous on other levels, too. We as Christians, think of this, are encouraged throughout the year, especially during penitential seasons, to take on disciplines of fasting and almsgiving and prayer to combat gluttony and avarice and pride. And of the two of these people that Jesus tells us about, only the Pharisee has done what we are supposed to be doing. Only he followed the rule. The parable is dangerous because some of the hearers may use it to justify neglect of fasting and almsgiving and prayer. After all, the Pharisee alone did all these things, and he went away not justified, but the publican. Dangerous because publicans were notorious traitors, greedy, proud. No word on whether they were stereotypically gluttonous, but why not? Let's throw that in there too. It's dangerous because it could be so easily used, ironically, to justify unruly and reckless behavior as long as you could produce some evidence that you were really, really, really sorry. What kind of life did the publican go on to lead after his repentance? Jesus doesn't say. It's a parable. What chance is there that the Pharisee, learning that his prayers were not acceptable to God, went ahead and repented and changed his life? Doesn't say. This is a dangerous parable. Dangerous in yet a third way. We, along with countless generations who have heard this parable since the first century, have considered the behavior of the Pharisee and the publican and said to ourselves, or even out loud, what a foolish Pharisee. I, on the other hand, have attended church today when I didn't have to. I even came to the early service. I have used the kneelers. I have said the Kyrie eleison, the Lord's Prayer, and perhaps even the Jesus Prayer today. I have prayed to God and not with myself. In fact, I thank thee, God, that I am not like other men. And for instance, this Pharisee, what have we said when we say, I thank thee that I am not like other men, and consider this Pharisee? This is a dangerous parable. Now applied to our own context, and not just the context of the Pharisee, Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and that despised others, those who despised others. We have so much good in these little traditional Anglican churches. An exceptional liturgy, you could tinker with it, but there's no real need to change it. We have an exceptional annual calendar cycle. We rehearse the life of Christ in these wonderful feast days, and we sanctify the very time of our lives with sacred seasons. There's no need to change the calendar. We retain all the sacraments and apostolicity of the ancient church. There's no need to change that. The scriptures are upheld. Moral standards are upheld. Vestments, iconography, hymnody, fellowship, reconciliation is all here, untrammeled by the secular culture as we can keep it. But the Pharisee in the parable could almost have said the same thing. Just as the Pharisees who first heard Jesus speak this parable could have said the same thing. Regardless of the perfection of the form and manner of life, Jesus forces us to ask ourselves, do we trust in ourselves that we are righteous And do we despise others? Do you trust in yourself that you are righteous and despise others? Yes? No? Maybe? Perhaps we're not the best judges of our own spiritual maturity. We tend to inflate our opinion of ourselves as either exceptionally good or exceptionally bad. How strange is it to hear a clergyman say you're probably not exceptional in the end? You're probably somewhere in the middle. Would you be willing to ask someone close to you whether or not they thought you were a proud and self-righteous person that despised others? And before you go out and head and do that, ask yourself if you could find someone who is not afraid of you, who would tell you the truth, would you be willing to accept that person's honest answer? And if, before you even go out and do that, if it would be too painful for you to hear from a friend that you are a proud person that tends to despise others, let us simply realize that we are in the presence of God right now, God who is not mocked, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, a merciful Lord who does not wish that any should perish, who calls people to follow him in his humility. After all, the parable is told by the God of mercy, the Prince of Peace, who welcomes the prodigal, who rejoices in finding the lost sheep, the Good Shepherd. If you know where you are and unto whom you are presenting yourself today, then you can skip the painful process of asking your friends whether you're more like the Pharisee than the publican, and just pray the prayers of the church in spirit and in truth. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O God, make speed to save me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.